Greetings, this is James Gilman, and I'm your host, and we've got another great show. We've got Susan Carnacci, and she currently serves as the Director of Communications at the Renaissance Project Foundation, and as the President of Emotional Intelligence, EI Skills Group. She spent nearly 20 years working with social development, new consciousness, and contemporary science to merge from her early days with PEER, Program for Extraordinary Experience Research, in 1995, led by the Dr. John E. Mack, Cambridge, Massachusetts. And she's the lead author on a contribution to Applying Emotional Intelligence, 2007, lead developer and author of a series of activities, reflections, and exercises entitled Teaching Emotional Intelligence Skills to Others. And she's a co-author of the chapter in Emotional Intelligence and Everyday Life. There is a lot here. I could go on and on with this bio, but I'm going to shorten it up because I want to bring Susan on the show because we have a lot to cover. So, Susan, are you with us?
Yes, I am with you and everyone else is listening.
Yeah. Well, good to have you on the show. I know we've wanted to do this show for a long time, and there's so many different topics that we want to cover. And I'm just going to let you take it wherever you want to take it. And maybe we can even start out by talking about a little bit about what EI is and some of the work you've been doing. And I know you wanted to cover some information about some of the drawbacks on getting out the fuelless energy technology and things like that. So I'll let you take this wherever you want to go. Just consider it your show.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And if I get out of line, you just might have to rein me in a little bit. And I don't think you're going to have an issue with that.
No problem.
All right, great. Okay, so starting out, what is emotional intelligence? I think maybe I'll back up a little bit. You know, it's been a while since I've done an interview. I used to do these a little bit more often. So it's been almost about 2 years since I've been, I guess, more verbal, vocal, and, you know, had some things to say. Yeah. It's been an intense 2 years, and I think a lot of your listeners, James, can attest to that with the different challenges emotionally, you know, major shifts and swings in people's lives. And I know for myself personally, holy smokes, you know, certain things I'm doing I never thought I would be doing, you know, on some level, yes, and on others, it's like, you know, being tried in ways that you've never even really imagined possible. So, you know, just a little bit about some history. So I spent a good 10 years in emotional intelligence consulting across the globe, work with a really amazing individual by the name of David Crusoe. I haven't done so much of that in the last year and a half yet. I'm doing it in a whole different way now, to say the least. And emotional intelligence is basically having an awareness of what you are feeling and what others are feeling, but being accurate with that feeling, because sometimes we think that we are perceiving something that's not actually there, so there's a lack of accuracy, and being able to understand how the emotion is influencing our thought processes, understand what's triggering that emotion, and then ultimately taking responsibility for oneself and managing that emotion. So that's a little bit about emotional intelligence. And, you know, the thing that I still love about this, you know, I'm someone who's been more immersed now in the spiritual community. I live out in Hawaii now. So I'm an East Coast girl from Massachusetts and then, you know, moved out to Kauai about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And definitely in a very, very different world. So with that being said, I'm finding that EI is actually even more important because sometimes what people think that they're seeing in others is not actually an accurate reflection because, you know, behaviorally and physiologically what someone is displaying is not necessarily what the other person is perceiving. And I see that a lot. Maybe be a little bit more explicit. I see that a lot in the spiritual community where, you know, people say, I have this intuition and I feel you're experiencing this or I feel you're experiencing that. But yet there's a mismatch. There's incongruency because the other person is not exhibiting those physiological changes in their body or in their face or in, you know, their hands that actually goes with that respective emotion. And for me, it's like, whoa, hold on. If we're actually talking about having resonance with one another, if we're actually talking about having cohesion and in team-based work, let's say, or even just having, you know, this heart resonance, then there's certain, you know, physiological changes that, that go along with that, and there's a level of accuracy that goes along with that. So if anything, you know, even though I got away a little bit from the EI world that I really love and admire, I'm even finding that in today's day and age, it's even more needed through all of these various changes that we've got going on and the ramping up of the different energies and the strong, intense energies that we're feeling in conjunction with letting go of certain charges that we have around things that no longer serve us. So I just think emotional intelligence is an incredibly important tool, especially because of the changes that are going on the planet. So that's a little bit about that.
Yeah, I agree. The I notice a lot of people, you know, they have the intellect, you know, the mental side of things or the left brain, and then they have the emotional side of things. And I've noticed lately, and it's kind of sad in a way, is that our country has gone so patriarchal and so into the intellect, and we're governed by, I hate to say it, but psychopaths and scientists that have lost the ability to feel or to connect with how their actions affect others or how it affects the rest of life. And I don't know, maybe you can talk a little bit about that. Seems to be a huge resurgence of more of the divine feminine, where people are having to get back in touch with that emotional side of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And when we skip over that information, like I look at emotions like this. They're things that don't get in our way. It's universal wisdom that's actually coming in. You know, what we know around the globe is people experience, you know, six different common emotions. And granted, there's varying degrees to those emotions and levels of intensity that go along with it, and even different triggers that go along with it. I will talk a little bit about the patriarchal experience and the divine feminine, and I'm sure you've covered this on other shows, and I'm sure you probably have heard this on other shows, yet it's really important to address this. I think it's absolutely critical in what we're experiencing. I'll first take the psychopaths with people that are running the country. You know, power is a funky thing, and I think power, you know, drips so much into that fourth density. When you really look at those that are in control of you know, certain aspects of the government and certain monies, when you really, really look at that, it's not just a component of a third density type of control. You really have a lot of psychic awareness that's going on. They know how to manipulate people. They know how to pull, how to control. I mean, it's almost as if it's like, you know, an abusive relationship, so to speak. So they know how to manipulate those factors in order to get people to follow the lead. And what we know from a research standpoint is that people that have that tendency to really be at the top and to isolate themselves from a hierarchical, you know, call it a patriarchal standpoint, have lower degrees of emotional intelligence, meaning that their ability to actually identify what someone's feeling and to have empathy as well, to feel what that other person is feeling, and then to appropriately manage that, significantly decreases the more power someone has, the more money someone has, and the higher the leadership position. So all three of those variables are factors that have a relationship to lower levels of emotional intelligence. And you know, everything that I've ever experienced, as you know, James, I've been a lifetime ET contactee, which basically means that, you know, I've had contact ever since I can remember. In all of my contact experiences, every single one of them, you know, and it's been various different beings, there is such a, and again, this is for me, this is not a generalization for other people, there's been such a beautiful relationship. It's honorable, it's respectful, it's present, it's loving, it's patient, and you can feel that the other being is feeling you, and they're allowing you to feel them as well.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready, I'll share this with you, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. And if you're not ready, they'll honor that and respect that. And mm-hmm. I've had that happen as well. So, you know, I've constantly tried to bring in what I know from what I would say are the highest levels of love that I've experienced. And it does have a relationship to emotional intelligence because the beings are able to feel you and you feel them, and you've got this beautiful transfer of energy and transfer of information that comes along with that. And that's something that, you know, we really have gotten away from. And as we're so focused on trying to save the planet and save the world and, you know, deal with the messes of Fukushima and deal with the, you know, the GMO messes that are out there and, you know, chem bombs and chemtrails, you know, this is a, this piece is, it's, to me, it's almost everything at this point.
You know, what's interesting too is that, I mean, your experiences, there's an old saying, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. Now, if mm-hmm. if you had another person that, let's say, was very self-absorbed or had a major sense of entitlement or mm-hmm. was running one of those programs, it seems like they would have a total different experience, or they would contact a group or a consciousness that may not be so benevolent, and that would actually end up, you know, using them as a tool in the long run, because, you know, it's like attracts like, and if you are... if you are using these energies to control or manipulate or dominate, you end up hooking up to those type of beings, and then you end up being controlled, manipulated, and dominated.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. I've watched one of the, you know, I'll share with you is I call my original instructions when I remember coming to the planet, because I remember being energy before being in a physical body. And, you know, my instructions were, your job is to understand how they live on this planet. And I never felt like I was, you know, I know that a lot of contactees will feel like I don't belong here, or this isn't really my family. I have to say, like, I never really felt like I didn't belong. I felt like, you know, it's like you're visiting a park. Yeah. I know this is zoom. I'm supposed to be here. This is yeah. I honestly didn't feel like it was a zoo. I felt it was a little crazy because I grew up with three older brothers and an older sister in a pretty small house. So it was a little crazy, but you know, I had love for humanity from the get-go, and you know, it was felt a little funky bumping around, but yet I definitely had love for you know, my family that I was born into, and for people that are here. So I've done a lot of observing and a lot of feedback. I also feel that at times, like, whatever I'm feeling, seeing, and experiencing is almost like getting beamed back somehow and then coming back. So I don't know what that's called, but it's almost like a sender receiver. But getting back to the power, I've done a lot of observing. I've done a lot of work on doing executive coaching, organizational development, and leadership work. So, you know, that's my mainstream life that I had before coming over to Kauai. And that happens, absolutely. You see that those that are manipulating others have a tendency to be very easily manipulatable.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a second, once you actually really start to look at this, you realize that, okay, so where is that energy source coming from? And if I didn't have some of the experiences that I have, and I'm talking about one in particular, I went to Peru, I was really sick, and I did ayahuasca down there, and it was one of the things that helped me get better. That was my first, what I would call, real heavy experience in fourth density. A lot of my contact experiences, I'd classify at least minimum fifth density and you know, much higher. And I thought, whoa, what is this world? Like, this is scary, because it's beyond this edge, and yet, you know, there's beings in this world that are not very favorable, and can latch onto you and can connect to you. Uh-huh. And, you know, that wasn't a belief that I had held previously. And then, you know, I've seen and experienced other things since that point that I obviously realized that, you know, you're right, there's definitely something to that. And I do think a key, though, is having awareness of how we are behaving emotionally and what our impact is to those around us, it's one of the ways to break out of it. Take responsibility for yourself and hear the feedback and see what's happening around you.
Yeah, some basics, you know, like, you know, do unto others as you'd like them to do unto you, or, you know, just the little basics that we seem to forget. You know, I always tell people, and that's the same message I've been getting really strongly, it's time to practice love and kindness and set boundaries with those who aren't. You know, that's the name of the stage right now, or the play that, or drama that we're in. But the energy's coming in. I've just been really observing people that seem to have a sense of entitlement, that are very, they use every ploy in the book. They use victim roles, poor me, and then they use aggression, and they use everything they can, you know, trying to get their way, other than just being kind and loving and asking, you know, hey, I need this, you know, or whatever. It's amazing watching all that come forward lately and be amplified like tenfold.
Yeah, it's almost like watching adults act like children.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know, and I'm seeing it all around. And you know, and I'll take responsibility, even for myself at times. I'm like, did I just say that? Like, did I just think that thought?
Yeah.
Oh my God, like, that's so juvenile. Where did that come from? And I think that, you know, if we think that we're impervious to some of these things, right, we're not. The planet is going through a shift right now, you know, for those of us who've had contact and for those of us who think that we're gurus or that we're masters and we've mastered this and we've completed that. Bullshit, you know, like, a lot of us are moving through this together on this plane right now, and you know, we need to be able to support one another through it, and then to be humble and to be honest, and you do that, you know, you're admitting to that, you're doing that, and it's like lessons are on every corner right now. And if we're constantly in a state of knowing and not in a state of having some form of mystery and having some form of inquisitiveness, I think we're missing the boat right now, and I think we're going to get hit pretty hard if we don't start to understand what is happening collectively and what is happening globally.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been getting a lot of information about these energy waves that have been going through, and one just went through in right around Thanksgiving, you know, and just right after Thanksgiving, and it seemed to peaked out right after that. It was still coming in, and then now we've got another one coming in right after Christmas. And I know people haven't even dealt with the last wave. They're still kind of traumatized by the last wave. And all their stuff came up. And some people worked through it, you know, and did really well. Where I see others went into total denial and projection and blame. And and when the next wave comes through, whatever they did and process on the first wave is going to be 10 times stronger. It's going to be exponentially amplified, basically. So it's kind of a, I've been observing these waves, and the, you know, the Palladians have been giving us a heads up, you know, like, hey, there's another big wave coming through, and you know, time to hold space, you know, and don't get caught up in all the drama. And sure enough, when these energies come through, boy, you just watch everything hit the fan, and the earth as well. I mean, the earth changes kick up too, you know, with all the volcanoes and earthquakes and everything else going on.
Exactly, because they're completely intertwined with one another, and that's, you know, a good question about the divine feminine, you know, and obviously, as you know this too, and most of your listeners know this, you know, the divine feminine isn't just in a female, it's in the male as well, and as females begin to allow themselves to experience the wisdom, and men as well, with what they're feeling, allow themselves to experience the wisdom of those emotions and allow the nurturing and allow the care and allow the cohesion and allow the support with one another. You know, this is what is going to move us there faster. And, you know, I just want to also say that I'm blown away at this. I mean, like, I can't believe it's 2013, really.
Yeah, and
I didn't
either.
Okay, that's number one, right? And number two is that we still have so much male aggression and that patriarchal, like, grip on so many pockets of what we're trying to do right now. And, you know, from a leadership perspective, and this is, you know, I think where I'd like to really move into this area, we need to be using the things that the mainstream world have done, because I've been in that world, and there's things that they do that's really darn amazing, to lead courageously and to lead genuinely right now. And what I see, because again, I'm exposed a lot more now in what I call like the spiritual realm, you know, just by my geographic location, is there's a lack of that, the ability to effectively organize, to allow real leadership to come into play, as opposed to, you know, real strong power hierarchical leadership. And or it's not even leadership, it's actually just management at that point. Mm-hmm. And these pieces, I believe, are absolutely critical, because how do you get a group of people to actually produce and make something? How do you get that to happen and come out? You know, it's not just the guy or the gal that's got the idea. It's the group that's around and what that container actually looks like to move those ideas forward. And I think this is our big lesson right now. It's like, you know, it's not one leader that's going to save us. It's not one guru who's going to save us. And we know that, like, cognitively, but something about us emotionally, we still have a tendency to give our power away to other people. And I don't know why that still happens, but yet it is. And I think this is one of our big lessons, is that from a leadership perspective, we really need to be aligning ourselves with people that actually don't just have the intention of the higher good, but from a behavioral standpoint, actually know how to tap in and allow that and make that happen.
Yeah, I agree.
And the divine feminine is that piece. I mean, if you do any research on effective leadership, that is one of the components that's absolutely critical. If you have a group of people around you, you have to look at, you know, what can they do? What are they good at? Can you tap into that skill? And can you use that collectively? Do these people feel inspired? Do they feel motivated? And can they navigate through any situation, regardless of the obstacles that come their way? And right now, we've got a ton of obstacles to try to bring forth different technologies, different ways of learning, different ways of being, and our ability to really move through that and to support one another, I believe, is really key right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I've noticed that, you know, just the way energy flows, you know, it's like the feminine is more of a subjective energy. It's a receiving energy. The masculine is more of a doing energy. It makes things happen. It carries things out. It goes forward. But we have it backwards, because we have the masculine principle in charge, you know, totally disconnected from source, because God is a feeling, whatever you want to call it. You know, divine intelligence comes through a feeling. And because that emotional intelligence is not there, now you have this patriarchal intellect running the show, which is about, you know, running on about 1/10 power, for one thing. And it's also playing the separation, you know, ego game. And
absolutely.
Until some kind of balance gets, and we learn how to run these energies correctly and lead ourselves to our own heart and soul and make our own personal connection with spirit, greater God, whatever you want to call it, this is going to continue.
Yeah, and you know what, and I think this too, I think that there needs to be honesty and truth from the feminine perspective about what's not working, what's not happening, where it's being shut down, where it's being denied. And once that has an opportunity to be heard or to be voiced, if the change is still not happening, if the connection is still not allowed to move in and breathe, then it's time to move on. I mean, I feel like this is why we keep experiencing all these big shifts in energy. It's not just to clear us out, but it's to also align us with other people, other projects or other things that are in line with our highest intention. And it's almost like, you know, I've always looked at the Kundalini experience as almost like, you know, oh, I graduated this level. Oh, I graduated that level.
Yeah.
And these big energy shifts are almost like graduating to these levels to then, you know, move into something or an area or a task or even just a different mode of feeling, because it's more in alignment with that. And, you know, same thing with the patriarchal male energy, you know, that's out of balance. That's going to die. We all know this. That's going to die out. It's not being it's not worked well for our planet. So why on earth would we want to continue to perpetuate that, especially as it relates to bringing forth new technologies, and especially as it relates to, you know, really doing things that are going to help save the planet? Because it's not just about who has the best idea or who has the most money to do it, or who's the most popular to do it. It's about doing it all in harmonic resonance and doing it all in balance. That's where the strength of it lies.
Mm-hmm. I've always felt, you know, and unfortunately a lot of women have basically tried to become men, you know, and move into these positions of power. But I've always
yeah.
felt that, you know, we need a grandmother, you know, in the White House. We need, you know, a woman that has the wisdom and the love. And, you know, grandmothers don't send their kids to war, you know, or their nieces or nephews
right.
or anything else. And they want to maintain the family, and they usually have a love for the earth, and most of them have been around long enough. They know how to settle disputes and things, you know, and work from a higher level. But I'm just seeing now that the people that are in charge now have no skills whatsoever in creating any kind of harmony, you know, with nature or, you know, with others. And all they know how to do is control, you know, conquer, force to conform. And it's just unbelievable when you see what's going on right now. It's almost, I just think the highest, as you move up the food chain, you know, it just gets darker and darker until you have these beings that just have no social skills whatsoever. And they're just, they're pathological liars and deceivers. And it just, I mean, not to get negative or into judgment, but I mean, that's just how they're expressing, you know, and people.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, and it's a reality, you know, like,
yeah.
and I popped into the world very positive, very optimistic, and, you know, lucky me, I've had great, you know, a family that loved me, I've had great ET contact, you know, I've never had anything, there's things I felt uncomfortable, but I wouldn't say it's been atrocious by any means, you know, whatsoever. If anything, it's been the opposite. So I came into this world pretty darn enthusiastic and pretty darn optimistic. And I had a lot of things that happened to me along the way that definitely, you know, bumped me, but didn't, you know, really nail down and pull down my spirit. But I've experienced enough of that now as I've gotten older to realize, whoa, hold on a second. Like, this is not universal energy. This is not positive life energy, which we know, you know, propagates these really amazing technologies that, you know, the interdimensional beings can, you know, use in their ships and go in and out of. You know, I mean, I think we all pretty much understand that at that point. But yet there is this thing that's happening that's bottlenecking and choking us from moving forward. And it exists within the spiritual community. It exists within these, you know, new organizations that are popping up. And what we absolutely have to do, you know, inventors, creators, people that are willing to spend their money, people that are willing to, you know, put all of these different things together to have these new ways of living, like, the fundamentals of it shouldn't just be, what are we going to produce? The fundamental should be, how are we going to relate to one another? How are we going to resolve a dispute that we have? How are we going to address issues that feel uncomfortable for us, but yet we know are important? How are we going to do that? And in the relationship, I mean, if you've got a strong container of people, anything can happen. Anything can move forward. If it's fragmented, if it's broken, if there's, you know, dishonesty, like, I've done so much research on emotional intelligence as it relates to work groups. And, you know, those groups that have the higher levels of emotional intelligence are the ones that, you know, get things done on time, they envision a vision, and they make it happen. And so these are the things, again, that I see that the mainstream world, we've learned, like there's great leadership tactics that are out there that we need to start pulling in to, you know, these new ways of living and these new ways of being, because they're really grounding and they're really important and they're something of substance. And I go back to, you know, my original instructions, like your job is to understand how they live on this planet. Well, you know, I never really wanted to be in the mainstream world, but that's where I got, that's where I got born. That's where I was born. That's where I was educated. That's where I spent a lot of my life. So, I have a fond appreciation for the movement of energy as it relates to how people, work in groups and how we work to make things happen. And I, again, I see it's one of the things that's really lacking in these new communities that are popping up. It's almost like, well, let's go live off the grid and let's forget this and let's forget that. And it's like, no, why? There's elements that definitely need to be incorporated into the whole, because there's some valuable aspects there. So, again, that's one of the pieces that I see. And you're right, the empathy piece is huge. If we can't feel what another person is feeling, or if we're being dismissive of that because we just want to focus on the facts and we only want to, you know, have the intellect be valued and prized, then we're missing what it actually means to have a human experience and to live on Mother Earth. That's a very emotional planet.
Oh yeah. I notice in a lot of groups, there's different types of groups forming and coming together. And I know at the ranch there, I've had so many different people come and go, and it's been amazing, you know, watching the unfoldment of that and how, you know, people will come in and they, you know, they have a lot of unhealed issues, you know, family issues or parental issues or whatever else, and or societal issues as well, you know, and they'll throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, no, you know, you get in rebellion mode and then you get stuck and you start rebelling against the things that are good and, you know, and against everything, you know. And so you're going, oh, wait a second, you know, some things we still need. We need to kind of move out of this other world, you know, and do it, you know, because we're still in that world. And so we need to do a few things here. And I've always noticed, too, with all the different dynamics and of people and how you know, you can't get away from it. We're always projecting, and we're always projecting an image of what we think somebody else is. And those of us who are telepathic or very sensitive, we feel that projection. And sometimes we even act it out, you know, and then you catch yourself and you go, whoa, wait a second. That is not mine. You know, that's not who I am. Where is this coming from?
Right.
But the more we raise in consciousness, the more telepathic we become, the more sensitive we become, and the more aware we become of all these different, you know, projections and needs of others and things like that. And it's just like, it's, I don't know if you have any advice on how to work through that, especially with the dynamics of more than one ego coming together and creating a positive, a positive result, you know, in the end.
Geez, I don't know if I've got the answer, but I know that the feeling, I mean, no, but really, I'll describe it as this way. I say, oh my God, I feel like I've got your projection jacket on my field. It looks like you feel like, I describe the feeling when someone's projecting on me, that I feel like I have a jacket on me that's not mine.
Yeah.
So, you know, to identify the feeling, because, you know, again, for those of us who have that intuitive ability, but also, you know, our senses, right? You know, our bioenergy field is so, I think it's so wide that it easily connects into another's field. And if someone is projecting, what is that? That's a force of energy. And if we're already so open, it's like, you're getting connected like instantaneously, especially if you're in the receptive state. So, you know, I think it's identify that feeling. And it's almost like taking what you know about emotional intelligence and relating it to what I would call like intuitive intelligence. Is this mine? Is it really mine, or is this somebody else's? And, you know, one of the things that I keep finding over and over that I have to do is, and again, this is a pretty simple answer, is I need to move away from it, and I need to spend some time in nature. I mean, you know, spending time by yourself, just really being clean and clear, and literally putting your body on the earth and completely, you know, emptying out your mind. Because then you can enter back into it and see it a lot more objectively. And I think where we really get hung up on it and we start to get into like the spaghettification of it, like, you know, it's almost like you're getting pulled into this black hole and you're like, ooh, ooh, ooh,
yeah.
is to, you know, get out of it, you know, get out of that energy field, get back to your own energy field as connected to source energy, you know, call in the, for me, it's nature. It's always been nature. You know, once I just get that space, I'm back. Back yeah. into really clear alignment. And for others, it's calling in certain beings because, you know, they're in a much tighter and tougher and more severe state from the energy that's really, really coming at them. So I think that's you know, it's critical. And then, you know, the last piece is to take responsibility for what it is that you might be projecting as well. Because if that's happening to you and it's happening consistently, there's a good chance you're going to turn around and do it to other people and not even realize it. And then you've got a whole cycle that begins to develop. So, you know, for me, the answer is basically move when you start to feel low and you start to feel down and you start to have those negative thoughts and they're not helping you and you haven't gotten out of it. You know, move yourself away from the situation, the person, until you feel really clear.
Now, sometimes those thoughts aren't even coming from another person. They might be coming from another entity, you know, and you're feeling their emotional body or mental body or whatever, you know, manipulations they're trying to pull. And mm-hmm. so we always teach people, you know, it's just sit down and clear the energy. You know, there's ways of doing that. There's tools and techniques. And it doesn't matter if it's yours or theirs or whatever. Just clear it, mm-hmm. you know, clear the space mm-hmm. and then start at it again. And
mm-hmm.
I think what's really important now for people to do is just say, not mine. You know, when these energies
right.
come in, just go, not mine. This is not mine. And
right.
And sometimes,
get out, it's not mine.
yeah. And just doing that sometimes is amazing. Just it, all of a sudden you shift and you go, wow, that wasn't mine. You know, it's,
yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of interesting, the dynamics going on, because, you know, we are living in a sea of consciousness and it's a multidimensional yeah. sea of consciousness. And there's so many things affecting us, even, you know, with the ELF waves and the black ops technology and the satellite technology and cell phone and microwave and radio waves and all the other things that are bombarding us on a regular basis, you know, yeah. along with other people's thought processes. It gets pretty crazy here.
Yeah, it does. And you know what, James, too, is we have to allow for that space. Like we have to allow for that space with each other without getting, you know, so sensitive about it. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if we're operating clearly and if we're operating, you know, in this balance, then that's a good thing for the whole social system, you know, like whatever in any individual's microcosm of the social system is, it's good for the people around you. So, you know, it's almost like encouraging others to take some space and take what they need and, you know, not having an attachment if they don't, you know, come home or if they don't, you know, do what they're supposed to do that day at work. And, you know, let me share that as well. What I'm seeing, and I don't know if you're seeing this, is that, you know, it's not business as usual anymore with the ramp up in these energies.
No.
There's more mistakes that are happening. If you're trying to run on like what I would call like the old energy, you know, 5 years ago, what work was like, that people need to actually slow down. They need to be conscious. They need to be cognizant because this is what the energies are asking for. And if we're not doing that, we're going to be making more mistakes. And I know I shifted gears a little bit, but, you know, there's so much noise that's happening in our heads because of this, you know, psychic awareness that's expanding, you know, the veil is thinning, our connection with our multidimensional brothers and sisters, the earth speaking, and, you know, everything that's going on with those around us, that, like, we have to slow down, we have to get that space, and we have to let our, you know, bioenergy field really, really breathe and hear the wisdom that's trying to come through us, because so much of what's happening right now isn't on this logical plane. It's on an intuitive plane, and we have to have that ability to hear it and then to also bring it forth into the world with a level of discernment to know, you know, how it really, really fits in.
Mm-hmm. I know that with a lot of people, it's really important to, you know, take that time, as you were saying, out in nature if you can or whatever, and just take time off of work now and then if your body's saying lay down, we just can't keep pushing it. And that's the program, is to keep you so off center and so busy and so doing that you never mm-hmm. have a chance to reflect or go within or clear or heal. And now we don't have that luxury anymore, because with these energies coming in, they're coming in so strong. There's times when you do need to take space. And even in relationships, you know, your relationships need to take space, you know, rather than bounce off of each other and project and blame and flip out. But, you know, one of the teachers I studied with, he said in the days to come, when the energies really start coming in, you know, he strongly recommended that people who are even married or whatever, have your own getaway, have your own space. So when you need to process, if you're feeling really on edge or whatever, you can go to your cave or go to your space and clear it and deal with it, rather than, you know, creating a big catastrophe, you know, at home.
Right. And you know, and that energy is, you know, I think about this, I think about my connection with the beings, I think about research that I just recently heard about dolphins, which I'll share in a minute, and then I think about, you know, my own interactions with the ships, and it's at such a high vibration, you know, like the cells of your body are, you know, like, are literally spinning and moving at, like, this warp speed, yet there's also a calmness and a positivity that's existing in that space. Again, this is what I've experienced. And with that being said, it's like when one person is doing something that has like a really strong negative emotional impact, or they're, you know, expressing themselves in that manner, it really is impacting the field. And what we know about these, you know, zero-point energy devices, and, you know, there's enough research out there on the internet that, you know, it is related to the energy field with the person. The two go hand in hand, you know, especially with a lot of these, you know, ships. They're very organic in nature, and they're feeling what the human being is feeling. And I remember, and I'll share this with you as well, I remember when I was a kid, my body moved from a, like, physical density to, you know, one of more light, and, you know, the ship was outside my window, and it was really beautiful. I call it, like, the chakra ship. It had this, you know, golden white light on the top, and then all these what I call chakra colors, like, around the midsection of it, and I remember as my body was moving through the wall, literally, to then go up in the ship, I went, oh, this is the first time in this human body that I'm going in this ship. And how I'm, you know, and I was like 5 at the time, how I'm feeling is related to how easily I move in here.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, thinking about that, like, for me, there's these pinnacles of things to move to. It's like, well, that resonance we really should be feeling within ourselves, feeling it with nature, feeling it with each other. And when there are these strong negative emotional reactions or expressions, you know, the field of energy is feeling it, and we have a responsibility to click on to the higher evolutionary piece of who we are and use our prefrontal cortex, use our reasoning ability. This is where the intellect piece actually comes in hand. You know, use our reasoning ability to say, hey, I'm feeling this way, and I need to take responsibility for that feeling, because I could then go hurt, you know, 5 other people. And I just recently saw some research that Joan Ocean had about dolphins, where dolphins are not naturally, you know, aggressive beings. And I think there was research that was done where they had put electrodes on them and stimulated aggression in them. And what the dolphin did is that the dolphin could actually, you know, experience the aggression. It was feeling the emotion. And what the dolphin did is it chose to not go enter into the pod and release the aggression onto the other dolphins. It actually remained solitary and chose to shook off the emotion until it was at a more calibrated state to enter the pod. And I think, like, you know, this is where we need to get to, to take that responsibility and these super strong emotions that we're feeling right now, you know, to realize we own those are ours, and it's our script, it's our story, and it's also our job to not to perpetuate that, to contaminate the field around us. If we're not feeling so well, we need to check out for a little bit until we can come back together and learn from, you know, whatever it was that we were feeling. And, you know, if somebody did do something that we feel was unjust, well, let's look at that reasonably and have some form of rationality to address it in a way that's going to benefit the whole as opposed to just benefiting the self.
Yeah, it all goes back to personal responsibility for your fields and the energies that you're carrying and what you're emitting, you know, and you know, we have to constantly be the observer and observe, you know, the status of our emotions and our thoughts and things like that. And if we're operating on a low level, you know, or a negative level, we need to catch ourselves and just say, okay, yep, you know, I need to remove myself from the pod for a little while.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, that's it's an incredibly healthy thing to do. But more importantly, like, you know, I believe that our survival as a human species, you know, really as a evolving species on the planet, is really related to how well we do that. And so to ignore it is really stupid. It's not healthy. It doesn't get us very far, as you know. I mean, what you had just said is, if you don't deal with the wave of emotions and energy and stuff that came through with these real strong pushes, these real strong energetic pushes, you just have to pay for it again when the next wave comes around.
Yeah, it's going to be stronger. But, you know, it's kind of interesting I've seen, too, is that there are people that are just not owning their stuff, you know, and they have either a sense of entitlement, or they have a victim program where they want to blame everybody else, or, you know, there's all these different reasons for doing it. But I'm just blown away sometimes that how some people are just so locked into it's everybody else, you know, it's everybody is, or, you know, it's everybody should behave the way I think they should behave, or there's all these weird mindsets that are so strong sometimes that, you know, the self-evaluation just isn't there, or the willingness to say, hey, maybe I need to rethink this. You know, maybe there's something in my program that isn't functional anymore.
Yeah, and you know, to me, that's scary. That if we are supposedly moving forward and we're evolving, right, and we're technologies and ways of living, new ways of being, and that component is not there, it's scary, because what are we really doing at the end of the day, and what have we really learned, and what are we really contributing our time and energy to? And you know, this to me is like it's a recalibration. You know, it's a way of saying, hold on a second, what is our intention? What is it that we're really trying to achieve? Growth, support. You know, you talked about the grandmother. You know, wouldn't it be great if, you know, we had like the grandmother that was, you know, leading our world, or having more of these type of people? And absolutely, you know, those are the components that are needed, because the grandmother can typically see beyond the self. They are humble. They can take what they've done and have acknowledgement for it, and have the love for their children and their children's children in a way that, you know, some male leaders are not able to really have, or at least that they haven't really exhibited, you know, yet. And I think that there's massive room for female leadership to come into play. And I'm going to make a really bold statement. I believe that one of the major components where we really tap into these new technologies is by having equitable female representation and the development and the organization of these technologies. I've felt that ever since I was a little kid. That's never changed. Yeah. And, you know, I think that we're not even close to having that happen yet. We're really far away from that. And I think it's a call out right now to those people that have some knowledge in mainstream, and those people that are inventors and creators, you know, to really look around you and say, who do you have at your table? Who do you have around you? And is this a balanced representation? And you know, does this look like something that's supportive? Because, you know, this is what we know these new technologies really consist of.
You know, I have a feeling that, you know, because of the imbalance is why the breakthroughs haven't happened. and
I agree.
And in scientists and things like that, because they're so, programmed, and you know, they're so stuck in their own intellects or things like that. They've kind of lost the ability to work in harmony with groups, or they haven't balanced out their feminine side, or you know, healed that aspect of it. And so because of their imbalance, the information isn't coming to them that they need to finish these projects.
Yeah, and let me add an element to that. These people that have chosen to take that on, it's a very enormous level of responsibility that's had produced, you know, so much danger. You know, I myself was taken out of school at 7 years old by somebody from the military and asked about my contact. So, you know, I'm well aware of you know, the types of things that have existed, although I think we're, you know, in a new paradigm. And, you know, these amazing inventors, creators, and people that are interested in bringing forth this, these different technologies, that they haven't really had the support that's necessary, especially if some of them are visionaries. They've led a lonely path where if they actually did listen to those around them, then they wouldn't be as advanced as they are. So, you know, they're growing and they're learning, you know, as all of us are right now. And, you know, this is where I say it really is the collective growth that's happening and moving. Yet it's time to sink in, and it's time to look at who's coming into play, who's around you, and you know, who's actually going to help to move this forward in wisdom, you know, in this galactic wisdom that's actually emanating and coming forth. So you know, that's the other piece that I see. So I spent time when I was in Massachusetts with a lot of different people that were, you know, knowledgeable and working on you know, different things to bring forth to society. And it's not an easy road for some of these folks yet. There is a way to organize around this, that it's not so lonely and it's not so hard. And you can have the proper social support and the proper ability around you to actually not carry the entire responsibility on one person's shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important to learn to delegate. You know, and not, you know, think that we're the only one that can do things, you know, because, you know, we have to have it done, you know, perfectly and our way and things like that. It's that'll drive you right into the crazy bit,
yeah.
Basically. It'll stress you out so bad that you'll like become totally dysfunctional in the end. But I'm seeing that, you know, it's just a process. And, you know, I know with a lot of people that help me, they make mistakes, and I just figure that's part of the program. You know, it's part of the learning curve. And I made a lot of mistakes, you know, getting to where I'm at, and I'm still definitely not perfect, you know. So, yeah, it's just part of the process versus worrying about everything being perfect, you know, and having to be done a certain way where the outcome has way too much focus rather than the journey and the evolution of all concerned, you know, in the process.
Right. Well, and you know, it's funny too. I remember we used to do this little activity in these emotional intelligence workshops, and you know, I remember always doing it. It's like right in the beginning, I'm like, God, this feels so hokey, but like the outcome was always so neat to look at. We put groups of people together, had positive instructions for how they were supposed to be a tower based on a whole bunch of materials that they had. And the other group was given, you know, real negative instructions, and then one person in the group had to read the instructions and be negative. Well, every group consistently produced the same exact thing, meaning the positive group made something very beautiful. There was always laughter that was happening. And then they would stand next to whatever they created longer because they felt that cohesion and they felt that unity. And the group that had the negative instructions, they always fight, they're always blaming, they're always arguing, and then they wouldn't even stand by the structure, which typically looked like crap. And they were like, they were loose, they weren't even like wanting to sit next to each other. You know, it just goes to show the jagged energy. So, you know, I can't see in these beautiful devices, you know, that some of us have been blessed to see, and that people that go to your ranch see all the time, because, you know, you're so tapped in out there. And what you've been doing for years, and I've personally experienced it. It's a beautiful positive energy. These gorgeous ships these gorgeous beings. I cannot imagine that they're using those type of emotions on a consistent basis to make the impossible possible. You know, I really can't. So, and hey, it's so much funner to do it in a way that's uplifting, that's inspiring, and that makes, you know, people around you smile, and that makes the whole thing lift and grow. You know, and that to me is something that we need to get back to. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of us have lost it because we've gotten so caught up in all of this shit, and we've gotten so caught up in the drama, and so caught up in we have to get this done, and we've got to get this done by this time, and the earth is suffering, and we have to. Well, what if we started enjoying what we were doing and loving everybody along the way as we were doing it? It changes the entire dynamic, and things don't look as horrible as you think. And you're adding to that field of positive energy. And I say that very realistically and not blindly, because I'm not sure staying in that negative emotional state too long produces anything that's worthwhile. You know, see things for what they are, get the knowledge, get the information, and then get the hell out of it and move to, you know, that higher state of being, and work to influence others to be in that higher state of being. It's so much more better than anything else.
Yeah, it seems the ultimate goal is basically love, joy, and bliss, because that's what the source is, and we're really here to reconnect with our own source within. And all the other stuff, to me, is just not worth it. You know, if you're not, there's an old saying, if it's not fun, it's not sustainable. You know, so if you're doing something you hate and you don't like, and you're in a job or anything that you know is detrimental to humanity and the earth, or not in the highest and best good of humanity and the earth, you know, it's time to just break away from that no matter what. There's nothing worth joy and love and bliss and working in harmony with each other and the earth. There's no greater
right.
gift. And we need
right.
to make that a priority and let the rest of it just fall by the wayside. You know, we're at the end of the hour here, so I wish we could go further. I know we just touched on a few things. I'll have to bring you back on the show. But, you know, I can't thank you enough. I don't know if you have any services you're offering to people or right now, but if you want any contact information given out or ways people can get a hold of you, now's the
yeah.
time to do it.
Well, people can contact me at susan@eiskills.com, so S-U-S-A-N, at E for emotional and I as intelligent skills.com, so they can contact me there. And, you know, at this point, I know where my focus and my energy is. It really is in looking at leadership as it relates to these the development and the sustainability of these new energy technologies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that for me is where it's at. There's a lot of things that need to happen in order for that to more fully come to fruition. Yet it's I don't see how we can't not be talking about this at this point. It's not just about getting the devices out. It's about creating a container to hold it in a way that's going to be received and it's going to be sustainable. And I think that this is what we're really supposed to be talking about, as opposed to, you know, how do we tinker this with that? That will come, and that is coming. And let's have fun along the way as we do it.
I agree. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll have to do it again real soon.
All right. Thanks, James.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one.
All right. We're at the end of the hour, folks. I'm signing off, so have a great evening. And remember, if it's not fun, it's not sustainable. And get your emotional intelligence going. And let's start working in harmony with each other and the planet and turn this thing around. Have a great evening. Good night.
Bye.